As soon as Brother Brandt came across the expression in prayer about having a hear an ear and a see an eye, my mind went to the scripture in Proverbs that a hear an ear and a see an eye is of the Lord, from the Lord.
Yeah.
And we certainly believe that. And it is the truth. It's the truth whether we believe it or not, but I'm glad I believe that truth this morning. It's certainly good to see each one. I do have a continued interest in your prayers today, that you would pray for me the time that I stand, and pray for yourself, that the Lord would indeed bless us to have seeing eyes and hearing ears. This morning, for a little while, we're going to change subject matter today. I feel impression, I trust from the Lord upon my heart and mind, and if I'm able to preach that which is upon my heart and mind. This morning I'd like to preach to you some things and bring to you from the subject matter of concerning the subject matter of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of the Son of God. He has sent forth the Spirit of His Son, so He is the Spirit of the Son. He is the Spirit of truth. Three times there in John it tells us that the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of truth. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So, some thoughts and some things this morning, and also in a way of a practical sense. And more specifically, as the scripture instructs us, and it is Jesus is preaching these words that he specifically gives us this admonition. And so we would turn this morning to begin with in Luke chapter 11. In Luke chapter 11, and just get to the verse that... And we'll go back up above this in just a moment, the Lord willing. But I would like to bring this forth to you. As I said, what I was going to say specifically concerning the Holy Spirit, some things about the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. This is all one and the same. This is the person of the Holy Ghost. But here... Jesus specifically gives an admonition in that latter part of verse 13 and says, "How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?" So here is an admonition. Here is an exhortation. Here is an encouragement from the Lord Jesus Christ to His disciples. And this is His disciples. Not just in the first century, but in all the centuries down through these 2,000 years, that we should ask our Heavenly Father, we should pray to God that He would give us the Holy Spirit. Now, this is not concerning regeneration. Nothing of this that we'll preach this morning. We know that the Holy Ghost is the agent. He is the one that comes and does that immediate direct work by the life-giving voice of the Spirit of God. Jesus said plainly in John chapter 3 that the wind bloweth where it listeneth. In other words, where it pleases, thou hearest the sound thereof and cannot tell from whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. All the elect of God after conception, amen, are born of the Spirit of God by the life-giving voice of the Son of God. And you don't ask for that. It is not that you're concerned with until God does it. Amen. God does that work. We are totally inactive. We are totally passive. We don't ask. But here we have Jesus teaching and says, "How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask Him?" So there is a sense, there is something here concerning the Holy Spirit, concerning the Holy Ghost, that you can have if you ask the Heavenly Father. Now, brothers and sisters, this is very plain and this is very serious. We need the administration of the Spirit of God. We need the leadership of the Spirit of God. We need the guidance of the Spirit of God. We need the teaching of the Spirit of God. Amen. For our life to be productive, to redound to the honor and glory of God in a way of discipleship in our life. We cannot live a life of discipleship without the Spirit, without the manifestation of the Spirit, without the light and the illumination and the encouragement and the deliverance of the Spirit of God. We cannot do it on our own. We cannot muster it up. We cannot summons the Spirit. We must ask. And I believe that this is a continuance of asking, amen, and receiving and being filled and being renewed in the Spirit in a way of discipleship that we can render and pay our vows and pay our service unto the Lord as the Scriptures admonish and exhort us to do. And we cannot rely upon the arm of the flesh, but we must rely upon the Spirit. We can only live a discipled life by living and walking in the Spirit. This is why Jesus gives this here. I'll turn back there in just a moment, the Lord willing, but I want to set back before you a couple of verses that is in Psalm 147. Psalm 147 in verse 10 and 11. He says, "He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man." Brothers and sisters, our strength, our help is not in how strong our horse is. Now, this is relative language to the economy of that day and time. But you can make the practical application. No matter what we feel accomplished in or what ability that we feel that we have from a natural standpoint, it will not aid or help you in living a Spirit-filled life. Amen. The Bible teaches us not to be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. In other words, it's not the carnal things that are important. It's not the influence, the intoxication of the natural things. We're certainly not relying upon that in order to live a Spirit-filled life, a discipled life, a life that is honoring and glorying unto God. You children, you need the Spirit of the Lord. You need the influence of the Holy Spirit to strengthen you and to help you to obey your parents. As you get older, coming on you into years and teenage years, there is that of this human nature that wants to be rebellious and wants to rebel. To rebel against your parents, to rebel against authority and so forth. But it is pleasing, well pleasing unto the Lord for you children to be submissive and obedient unto your parents. Amen. That's what the Bible says. But you'll need the Holy Spirit to help you. Amen. You'll need the Spirit of the Lord. You'll need to walk in the Spirit, to live in the Spirit, to meditate upon the Word of God, to ask the Lord for the Holy Spirit. Amen. As Jesus said, notice verse 11. In Psalm 147, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him, in those that hope in His mercy. This is who the Lord takes pleasure in. This is who redounds to the honor and glory of God. No, not those that delight in the strength of their horse or in the strength of some mechanism or a resource that they have of themselves. No, and we don't take and he taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. That's talking about man's strength, man's ability. You know, outside of the Spirit of God, Samson was like any other man. Amen. He was like any other man. It was only in and by the Spirit that he was endued with power and with strength to do what he did and to accomplish what he accomplished. But when he didn't walk in a discipled way, when he didn't walk in the Spirit, and when he fulfilled the lust of the flesh, he got in trouble. Amen. He got in trouble every time. And particularly the time when he went to sleep in Delilah's lap, and they cut his hair off, and so forth, and the Philistines came, and she said, "Samson, wake up, the Philistines are upon thee." He said, "I'll arise and shake myself like I've done all these other times before." But you know, what he didn't realize was, this time, when he was about to shake himself, he was about, in other words, to test himself, to see where he stood, to get himself ready, but he didn't have the strength. He didn't have the power like he had had. Oh, Jesus told his disciples to go and tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endowed, amen, given this power from on high. We've got to have power for service. Amen. We've got to have the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. We've got to have the gifts and the blessings of the Spirit and the whereabouts. Amen. Of the light and understanding is through the Spirit. Amen. That we bear the fruit of the Spirit. You don't bear the fruit of the Spirit out of your carnal nature. You manifest the works of the flesh out of the carnal, fleshly nature. But it's out of the Spirit nature. It's out, amen, of begging for the filling and renewing and strengthening of the Holy Spirit of God. And as Jesus said, amen, to ask the Heavenly Father, amen, to ask Him for, amen, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. You know, to me, the companion verse there in Proverbs 21 and 31 goes right along with the Psalm 147 and 10. The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. You know, the expression in Psalm 3 and 8, amen, that says that salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Amen. That means that deliverance belongs unto the Lord. We've got to ask Him. Amen. We've got to ask Him for that deliverance. We've got to bow before King Jesus. And knock and ask and seek at mercy's door. We have not because we ask not. To ask Him is His good pleasure. Fear not, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give unto you the kingdom. Amen. The benefits and the blessings in the kingdom, the gospel kingdom of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Also, Jonah chapter 2. Amen. Jonah came to the conclusion there in the belly of the whale, in the deeps, in the bottom of the mountains of the waters. And said that salvation is of the Lord. Amen. Any of our deliverance is of the Lord. And it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Amen. That's the way that it is. That's the way that you achieve. That's the way that you move forward. That's the way that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul doth prosper. Amen. It's to ask the Lord and to seek the Lord and to beg as beggars at mercy's door. Amen. Our God is great and our God is merciful, and He is so loving, and His mercies are new. His mercies are fresh every morning. Thank God for that. Now I want to turn back here to Luke chapter 11. And I want to give you the setting for this in these verses up above. And for the sake of time, we're going to deal just expressively with verse 9 through 13. Jesus says, I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. You know, each one of those words have the ETH on them. That means continuous. Amen. Continuous. Not a one time, but keep on keeping on. And that would go in light with the lesson that Jesus taught concerning praying right back above those verses. And you read those later on, and also tied in with Luke chapter 18. I just wanted to throw that in there as a side note. Now listen to what Jesus said starting in verse 11. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Notice the lesson that Jesus is teaching. If ye then being evil, if you being natural men, you being a natural father, prone to sin, prone, you have an Adamic nature. In other words, you're evil. You have that inbred. You have that which is inherited and so forth. And of course, children of God, you have that. You set every one of you sitting here on this pew. You would be in this category here. If ye then being evil, I don't think the Lord is talking about the wicked here in the sense of evil right here. I believe he's talking about from the standpoint that we are a natural individual. And as he's talking about father and son, that in this context that a father is a natural father and he's prone to evil thoughts, evil ways, and so forth. But Jesus says, if ye then being evil, know how to give good gifts. Yes, you have that Adamic nature, you have that, but yet you have the Spirit of God within your heart. You've been born of the Spirit of God, God in you, the hope of glory. There is that then, that ability and that desire to give good gifts unto your children, not only to your children, but to others. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Amen. That's what Jesus taught. Do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. The exhortation, be careful to maintain good works. Also here he says, now you're in this shape, in this condition, but you are able to, you can give good gifts in your children. How much more? Oh, notice that. How much more shall your heavenly Father, amen, our heavenly Father, just as his Son, as the Bible says, that his Son, amen, was separate from sinners. Jesus Christ, amen, could not sin. He didn't have the Adamic nature to sin with. He never sinned. No guile found in his mouth. He was separate from sinners. Amen. We understand. And so our heavenly Father is. So is, amen, the Trinity that makes up the Godhead. Three that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. This is what we're talking about. We're talking about the person of the Holy Ghost. We're talking about, as he is mentioned in here, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. As Old Line Primitive Baptists, we believe in a divine Trinity. We believe in three persons, the offices, the position, amen, of three, but one. We believe that there are three that bear record, and that these three are one. So when the Bible speaks of Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, or Spirit of God, Spirit of truth, amen, this is speaking of the person of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is real. the Spirit of God is real. And this individual of the Holy Spirit that I'm speaking about this morning is different from where you have the expression, especially in the Revelation letter, when it will mention the seven spirits of God. Now, it doesn't mean that God's divided up. Now, we know that God is a spirit. Amen? God is a spirit. But you see, seven is the Bible number of perfection. I'm satisfied with that. I believe that. I believe it's true. Amen? I believe I see it throughout the Scriptures. You see, the number of man is one less. Six. That's the number of man. Man is not perfection. Man is lacking. God created man good and very good. But he still, even at that point, was not perfection. And now he's certainly nowhere close to it. He's actually 666. That is man multiplied. Man multiplied and steeped in imperfection. But God is perfection. And I believe that's what represents when it speaks of the seven spirits of God. And those will be small capital. But where the Bible in the context is speaking of the Spirit. Amen. Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost. Amen. He is a person. Just like the Father and the Son. And so here as Jesus sets forth this lesson, the emphasis that I want you to see and understand is that Jesus is telling, amen, and preaching to his disciples, and he's telling us, it's here for us, amen, that how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. Now, we have the sister text in Matthew chapter 7. Which will also help us to understand. And I'm not going to go back up through about the bread, the fish, and the egg. But here in verse 11, he says, if ye then, being evil. As I said, I believe the sense of that is, if ye then, being natural, a natural father, prone to sin, stooped and steeped in that Adamic nature, but yet you know how to give good gifts unto your children. You know how to do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith. How much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? There is no contradiction here. Amen. It's one and the same. Luke records by inspiration of the Spirit, ask for the Holy Ghost. Shall he give the Holy Ghost to them that ask? And here Matthew, by inspiration of the Spirit, records and gives, give good things. It's not the Holy Spirit that which is good. Certainly he is. He is good. And God is good. Several times in the Scriptures it says that God is good. I want to tell you, God is perfection of good. God is fully good. Amen. There's no bad in him. And I put it that way for you children. There's nothing bad in God. There's no liability in God. God is good. God is perfect. God is complete. God is total. God is to be praised and honored and worshiped and adored. So we need to ask him, and he will give us good things. He will give us the Holy Spirit if we ask. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. He that seeketh, keep on keeping on. He that knocketh, keep on knocking. Oh, keep on. He that asketh, keep on asking. I want you to understand also this morning, and I know that most of you do, if not all, children may not have as much understanding of it, but children, I want you to notice there in Genesis chapter 1, in the very start, that the Scripture tells us that in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, Amen. This Spirit of God here in this context. This is the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is the Spirit of truth. This is the Spirit of the Son. This is the Spirit of Christ. Amen. This is the person of the Holy Ghost that the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So you see, amen, the Holy Spirit, amen, right here in the creation. God the Father in the creation, God the Son in the creation, God the Holy Ghost in the creation, not being created but doing the creating. Amen. You know, brothers and sisters, all the lights came on at the same time. Don't ever lose sight of that. Someone said, how could that be? How did they all come on at the same time? Because God said, let there be light. Amen. That's how all the lights came on at the same time. Now, I've told you about all I know about that. Amen. But I believe what the Bible says. I may not can dot every I and cross every T. Amen. But I'm just going to believe what the Bible says. You know, there's a lot of times that by faith we just need to stand on what the Bible says and believe it.
Yeah.
Well, glory to God. Amen. Just believe it. Just hold fast to it because God said it. Amen. And that's what He said. Oh, God said what He said. He said it. Amen. He hadn't took it back and He's not going to take it back. Oh, no. His promises are yea and amen. God is the truth. Let every man be a liar. God is the truth. If there's any opposition from man against what God's word says, that man don't count. Amen. What counts is God. I tell you that it's better to obey God than to obey man. We want to keep the laws, the civil laws, but where they oppose and where they contradict, amen, the commandments of God, it is better to obey God. That's exactly what the apostles said in Acts chapter 5 when they had been put into prison, when the apostles were put into prison, amen, for preaching Jesus and preaching the resurrection of the dead and for healing folks, that God gave them power to heal, to demonstrate and to prove what they were preaching was from God by the signs and the miracles that they wrought in the name of Jesus Christ. Even as Peter said to the lame man, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Arise up and walk. In that 29th verse, Peter and the other apostles answered them when they said, didn't we command you and straightway command you that you shouldn't teach in that name, and here you are doing it. The Lord brought them out of the prison though, and they were right back out doing it because the angel of the Lord had brought them out and told them to go stand in the temple and to speak all the words of this life. Amen. And what did Peter say in verse 29 of Acts 5? He answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Then it comes on down to verse 32. And by inspiration, Peter's still preaching by the Holy Ghost. Oh, you know, the Apostle Peter writes in his writing in the epistle and says that we preach with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. Jesus preached by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Jesus was anointed by the Holy Ghost in the River Jordan. He was blessed and given the Spirit without measure. He was anointed the high priest. And he went about preaching that everlasting gospel. And the time came. Jesus as high priest, while he was here those 3.5 years, he offered spiritual sacrifices. Amen. He gave praise from his lips unto the Father. And he taught the words of the Father that he had received from the Father. They were the Father's and they were his that he had received. But the time came that he is the high priest who had been anointed a high priest in the River Jordan upon the altar of his own deity. He offered himself that supreme sacrifice, that sacrifice once and for all. But Peter says, we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. Did you hear that? Amen. God has given the Holy Ghost to them that obey him. What is the admonition that Jesus gave? Ask the Father. Amen. Ask. How much more will your Heavenly Father? Oh, give good things. Give the Holy Spirit. Amen. To them that ask. Amen. Here Peter said, whom God hath given. Talking about the Holy Ghost. God hath given to them that obey him. You know, Jesus told those disciples there in the closing of Luke, there toward those last verses, before Jesus went away, he had led them out as far as Bethany, and he raised his hands and blessed them. And there in Luke chapter 24, in verse 49, he says, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. They had their instructions. They had their marching orders. And I believe that is why there in Acts chapter 1, that those two men in white apparel, while Jesus was being received up into the cloud and lifted up into heaven, that they spake those words unto the disciples. Behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem. They went, in other words, those two men in white apparel, those angels manifested as men that spoke to them. In other words, were saying, don't just hang around here now. You go on back. You go on to Jerusalem. You do what he said. You obey him. The Holy Ghost is given to them that obey him. Jesus had told them there in Acts chapter 1 in verse 4. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Here's a baptism with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Here is the gifts, amen, of the Spirit, the blessings of the Spirit that children of God can have in a way of obedience. Amen. That these apostles did not have hitherto before. Yes, they were born again. If they had died, they'd have went to glory. They wouldn't go into Jerusalem to be filled with the Holy Ghost in order to be made fit to live with God in glory. They were already fit, amen, by the birth of the Spirit, being born of the Spirit of God, being born from above, being born again, as the Scripture teaches. But here is something they didn't have. They didn't have yet, amen, that Jesus is telling them to go and tarry there, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. We know there's orders of people that run this to a far extreme outside of the Scriptures and so forth. And then there are those that totally deny the working of the Holy Ghost in the church, since you have the canon of scriptures. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, yes, the scriptures are by the Holy Ghost, but when the canon of scriptures was written, amen, when these writers wrote, and afterwards, amen, the Holy Ghost didn't cease, the Holy Ghost didn't go back to heaven, the Holy Ghost is still here, the Holy Ghost is still working among God's people and in God's people and through God's people and equipping and empowering God's disciples in a way of obedience, amen, and doing with power for service.
Amen.
Well, glory to God, I believe it's the truth. Amen, I believe it's the truth in Christ Jesus. There are those that just started in the mid-1800s, amen, that go to that other extreme ditch. You got them over here in this ditch. You got them over here in this ditch. Amen. But I want to tell you, I respect this book. But as much as I respect this book, amen, it's not, amen, telling me. I want to tell you, you can't lie to this book. Amen. But you can lie to the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Understand that. You can't lie to this book, but you can lie to the Holy Ghost. Amen. Then they say that the Spirit of God is gone. I want to tell you, amen, the Holy Ghost. Let me finish up right here and then we'll just turn to it. He said, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. In other words, you'll receive this power to do what I have called you to do. Amen. Let's go back to the 5th chapter of Acts. And you're going to find there, this is in the New Testament church. And you're going to find here two people, Ananias and Sapphira. Sapphira was the wife of Ananias. And the Bible says that they sold a possession. And they kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it. In other words, she had knowledge of it and also agreed to the scheme that they had schemed up. And brought a certain part and laid at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, wife of Satan, fill thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land. Now, they weren't commanded to sell the property. They weren't under any direct command to do it. They weren't under any direct command that if they did do it, they should give it all. It was theirs to do with, to give as the Spirit would impress upon them and bless them with. But they were covetous, but yet they wanted to appear to be some great somethings. And so they schemed up a lie, and Peter said, you haven't lied to us in keeping back part, in other words, but you have lied to the Holy Ghost. Now I want to tell you, you can only lie to a person. Amen. I believe that this text proves out, amen, that this what the scripture, amen, is teaching us of the person of the Holy Ghost and teaching us of the office of the Holy Ghost. Amen. His administrative work in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He went on to say, and we know what happened here for the sake of time, going to verse 9. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Amen. This Spirit of the Lord here, this is the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is the Holy Ghost. Because the Word of God is His own best interpreter. I tell you, the Word of God will shine a whole lot of light on them commentaries. Amen. If you didn't get it, you just think about it. It'll come to you. Amen. But fill thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost. The Bible is its own best commentary. Amen. And so here, the Spirit of the Lord, amen, is the Spirit of God. Amen. It is the Holy Ghost. I want you to notice with me, if you would, in the book of John, those sermons, those discourses that Jesus preached before his crucifixion, just shortly before that particular time, when Jesus says, remember that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Here in John chapter 14, Jesus said, starting in verse 16, "And I will pray the Father." Now this goes back. Jesus said, "I will pray the Father." Jesus said, ask, seek, and knock. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost, give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him. Give good things to them that ask Him. Jesus said, "I will pray the Father. He shall give you another comforter." This other comforter is the Holy Ghost. Jesus was their comforter while He was here. He comforted them. He was their lead. He was their guide. He was their teacher. But now He's given them this assurance. "Oh, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth." The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of truth. I want you to notice that. Notice also, while I'm right there with that expression, I'll turn over right quick to the Roman letter. Just hold you fingers back over there to John chapter 14, but in Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. Well, let's just start in verse 8. "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit." Amen. In the Spirit. Now, this is in the Holy Ghost. You're in the Spirit of God. Oh, but you're not in the flesh. But you are in the Spirit. How are you going to keep from being in the flesh? Because you've got a new nature. You've got a born again nature. But still yet you're dual. You do have that old nature. So you're born of the Spirit. So then the way to walk in that influence and illumination, and in that help of the new man, that new creation, Christ in you, the hope of glory, then we are to pray for the Spirit, for the infilling of the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine. Don't be under the influence of natural things. But be filled with the Spirit. So He says, if so be that the Spirit of God, notice that, the Spirit of God, amen, this is the Holy Ghost. This is, amen, the Spirit of truth. If the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. Notice that. If you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're none of His. So the Holy Ghost is also the Spirit of God. He's the Spirit of truth. He's the Spirit of the Son. He's the Spirit of Christ. Amen. He is the Spirit of God that moved upon the face of the deep. We see the work and the operation of the third person of the Holy Trinity of the Godhead all through the Scriptures. And He is the agent of administration of the will of God, the will of the Son, which is the same, amen, in the gospel kingdom, ordering it, giving the help and the aid to carry forth in the way that the Scriptures teach us to do so. Now, you go back over here to John. He tells us further in 14 and 26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, who the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Now I submit unto you that the apostles had this in a great measure." And I believe in the context of it, and I believe that in the sense of it, that it was a great measure of the Holy Ghost and the gifts of the Spirit unto the apostles in the first century. But the Holy Ghost did not leave this earth and leave the gospel church at the death of the apostles. He came. He will be here for the duration. Now, we don't have the understanding. We don't have, even as He told those apostles, and when you'll stand before kings, you'll stand before those in authority, and think not what you shall say in that hour. For I will give you, the Holy Ghost shall teach you and give you in that same hour what to say. Now I believe the apostles had that. And I believe that through the Holy Ghost they did that. But that's that measure that they had. I tell you, I have to dig for it now. Amen. I have to dig. I have to pray. I have to just keep on going through this Bible. Amen. I have to keep on going through the Scriptures. I have to keep being refreshed upon it. Because I assure you that if I don't, you'll be able to tell it. I'll walk out of this stand with my head hanging way down to my knees. I'll be ashamed. That's why the apostle exhorted Timothy to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. God's ministers, called ministers, are workmen. They're workmen. We have to study. We have to continuously refresh. Beg for the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beg God to give us utterance and freedom to free our mind. You see, a lot of times it's not what you've got on your mind, it's what you need to get off your mind concerning the preacher, to get it off your mind. And you need the Lord to help you to get some things cleared out and off your mind, the carnal things, the things that you've been encumbered with, and so forth and on, in order to have freedom. As our old brethren have used the expression, and I like it, that you'd be able to travel about in the fertile fields of the gospel. I tell you, these fields are fertile, amen, to bring out a treasure, both old and new. If you study, if you read, if you meditate, and if you ask and seek and beg, amen, God, amen, to be with you as a minister, to come before the waiting congregation, that God would fill you and bless you to bring those things to your remembrance and to help you to be free from the encumberments of this world that would bog you down.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Now, Jesus told them and gave them this, speaking of the Holy Ghost. One more verse here and we'll move on. In John chapter 15 and verse 26. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. Three places right there I read to you where he's called the Spirit of truth. He's the Spirit of truth. He's the Spirit of the Son. Amen. He's the Spirit of God. He's the Holy Spirit. He's the Holy Ghost. All one in the same person that we are talking about. Now I'd like to direct your attention to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Particularly in verse 3. Jesus blesses and gave forth those things that we've been reading that he gave. And it's the same with the Apostle Paul, by inspiration of the Spirit, who had the revelation from God by the Spirit. He said, wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. I want to tell you, a person that is filled with the Spirit, renewed in the Spirit, as the scripture here says, no man speaking by the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
In other words, a person under the by the nudging and urging and guidance of the Word of God and the speaking forth. In other words, if anyone or if a man speaking and says that Jesus is accursed, that Jesus is not the Christ, that Jesus didn't come in the flesh. We understand from the old age apostles John in his epistle that if any man confesseth not that Jesus is come in the flesh, that man is Antichrist. So here, as he says, no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. If we genuinely, with the correct motivation from our heart, a heart that God, amen, has made good, the tree God has made good, we can only do that, and we will, by the knowledge and understanding, if we confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, if we bow the knee to King Jesus, it's by the Holy Ghost. It's by the blessing, by the light, by the illumination of the Spirit of God. Yeah. Amen. This is what he is teaching us here in this verse. So once again, we can see clearly and understand the person of the Holy Ghost and how important this office of administration truly is. You know, I spoke of a group of people from the 1800s that got their start, and how that they're over in the other ditch, and they believe the Holy Ghost left when the apostles died off, and now you just have the canon of the book that God don't call men to the ministry. God don't lead by His Spirit. You just have the book. I respect this book, but I want to tell you, amen, the Holy Ghost is still here.
Amen.
Amen. And God still calls men to the ministry by the Holy Ghost. This book don't call men to the ministry. You can't lie to this book. You can lie to the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
I want you to understand that. But those same people will tell you that there was not anybody born of the Spirit in the Old Testament economy. Now think about that. There was no one born of the Spirit. Well, they just hadn't read Galatians. Well, they've read it. They probably put some other spin and twist on it. And they're the very ones that'll say, let the Scripture speak where the Scripture speak. You know, and be silent where the Scriptures are silent. Well, let's let the Scripture speak. Galatians chapter 4, here in verse 28 and verse 29. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Just like, amen, we brethren right now, Paul is saying to the Galatians, just like you were born of the Spirit, just like we're born of the Spirit, oh, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. Everyone is born by the Spirit of God. Amen. Of God's elect and that are born again, they're born by the Spirit. So here is Isaac, who is in the Old Testament. Amen. Who is several hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before this time. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him. We know that Esau, and this is what, Ishmael. Ishmael is what it's speaking of, that is after the flesh persecuted him. You Bible readers know that. I'm not going to go back and go back over that that narrative. But that was born after the Spirit, born after the Spirit, born of the Spirit, born from the Spirit, born by the Spirit. That's what it's saying. So right here, amen, is proof positive that someone was born of the Spirit of God, born after the Spirit of God in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
And I tell you, if Isaac was, so is from Adam. From Genesis 1 and 1 to the last verses of Malachi, and then whatever years there was between Malachi and Matthew, I want to tell you, God's been borning by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost has been, amen, the administrative operator of God's work by the Spirit. You'll find and read many times in the New Testament where it says that individuals spoke by the Holy Ghost. Thus saith the Holy Ghost. It'll say of David that he spoke by the Holy Ghost. Just think about that. Oh, how wonderful that is. But I submit unto you that Isaac was born of the Spirit of God. Amen. There in the Old Testament. And that these verses certainly prove it. You know, another scripture that teaches us of the person of the Spirit and concerning it on this wise is here in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, where it says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." Don't grieve the Holy Spirit of God. You're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God until the day of redemption. Oh, whether that be the day when you draw your last breath, or whether it be the day of the resurrection, when he'll have the last part of you that he paid for, the bodily resurrection, but you're sealed by the Holy Ghost until the day of redemption. And he has given a commandment here. He's given an exhortation. Don't you grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Now, you want to know how you can grieve the Holy Spirit of God? And I'll just say this, I can't grieve these scriptures. Amen, but I can grieve the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Amen, I can grieve the Holy Ghost. I believe you can grieve God. You can grieve the Son in disobedience.
Yeah.
God is pleased and well pleased in obedience. So therefore, the opposite of that, he'd be grieved in disobedience. We know the Holy Ghost was grieved with Ananias and Sapphira when they lied. You just march yourself right back up here to verse 25. And I believe that these verses put it into the context of verse 30 about grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. How can you grieve the Holy Spirit of God? He said, wherefore putting away lying. Amen. Put away lying. As disciples of Christ, we need to be filled with the Spirit. Oh, that we don't lie. Ananias and Sapphira, they lied to the Holy Ghost. That was grievous to the Holy Spirit. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Don't lie, speak the truth. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. This is all having to do if we don't do these, if we cease from these things, if we walk in a way of obedience, it will be well pleasing unto the Holy Ghost. But if we do these other things, we will grieve the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Yeah.
We'll grieve the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Let him that stole steal no more. But rather let him labor, working with his hands, the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And then he says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Then he starts again down below it, that all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. If we'll be obedient in these things right here, we won't grieve the Holy Ghost. We won't grieve. Amen. The Holy Spirit of God. Turn over with me to the last of the Thessalonian letter in 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. Here is four words in this verse. Here are some real short verses right here. Some real short admonitions. Some real short exhortations. Instructions. And in verse 19 of 1 Thessalonians 5, what does it say? Quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. What's he talking about? Quench not. Quench not. Well, If you turn over just a couple of pages to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God. Stir up the Holy Ghost within you, the gift of the Spirit, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Paul's talking about the ministerial gift, in particular in this context to Timothy here. And he's telling him to stir it up. You see, if you're quenching something, you're putting it out. You're putting it down. What do you do with a fire to quench it? You put water on it. You smother it out. Amen. The admonition is, don't quench it. Quench not the Spirit of God. Oh, brothers and sisters, in our lives through prayer and meditation upon the Scriptures and the usage of the Scriptures and using them in our lives, what are we doing? We're stirring the fire. We're stirring. Stir up our pure minds. When you got a little fire there, you don't want it to go out. You want it to blaze back up, to catch back up to the material that is there. You stir it. You stir those coals, them embers. You see, there's got to be some coals there. There's got to be some embers, or you can't stir it up and get a bigger fire. Amen. We're talking about in the sense of manifestation. Amen. Of the Spirit in our lives. So we're not to quench the Spirit of God. Oh, but as Ephesians 5 and 18, as I've already said this morning, we're certainly not to quench it, but we're to be filled with the Spirit. Amen. Filled with the Spirit. There's many more things that could be said on that line. I'll set one more thing before you, then we'll quit. In Hebrews chapter 9, in verse 8, in the first part of verse 9, he says, the Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present. Amen. The Holy Ghost signified. The Holy Ghost teaching and showing and giving forth. Amen. The tabernacle, the outer courts, the inner place, the holy place, and then the Holy of Holies. Amen. Were figures. Was a type, a shadow of that which was to come. Think about a shadow. Think about a real nice apple tree out here. All right? And this apple tree, it's got the trunk, it's got the limbs, and it's in fruit. It's got some real pretty red apples on it. All right? It's got green leaves on it. But you know, the shadow that is cast onto the ground, it's just dark. It's just got the outward form. Right? It's just got the outward form of that apple tree. It don't show you the distinctions of the bark and all that's on the trunk, and maybe the little knots that's on the trunk and so forth. It don't show you the specific of the limbs and of the. It don't show you the green. It's just dark. It don't show you the green leaves. It don't show you the red apples. Oh no! But I tell you, hey man, the leaves and the apples have come. Hey man. Oh, but you see, it was the Holy Ghost, amen, it worked there, as God was using to signify and to show that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest. I want to tell you, amen, the most blessed way, the wonderful way into it, is Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. They couldn't go into there was a certain way to go into the Holy of Holies. And even that holy place, the people couldn't go in. The people had to stand without into the outer court. Only the priests that ministered could go. The Levites and those that were serving their turn in the priesthood could go into the holy place. And only the high priest could go into the Holy of Holies, bearing blood for himself and for others, as the Bible says, talking about for the people. To go in, and he could only do it one time a year, and that was on the Day of Atonement. Oh, but through all that, the Holy Ghost was signifying, the Holy Ghost was showing. What was the Holy Ghost showing? What was the Holy Ghost pointing toward? Toward Jesus Christ, the great high priest.
Amen.
And I tell you, the Holy Ghost today, Jesus said when he is come, when the Spirit of truth is come, he'll not testify of himself, but of me.
Yeah.
Amen. He'll speak of me, and he'll speak of that I have given unto him.
Yeah.
Amen. Given unto him to speak. Here in verse 11 of Hebrews 9, but Christ being come. In other words, Jesus has come. Christ being come and high priest of good things. Jesus came to this earth. He was anointed in the River Jordan, the great high priest. I tell you, the holy oil was poured upon him. The Holy Ghost in the form of a dove lit upon him. And the voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Amen. But it's the Holy Ghost that was signifying in the Old Testament. It's the Holy Ghost that came down and anointed him for service there in the banks of the Jordan River. It's the Holy Ghost that came down on the day of Pentecost. Amen. In answer to the Lord's prayer to the Father. And now, amen, as those disciples were obedient unto the command of Christ and tarried until they were endued with power from on high. And now Jesus tells us, ask for the Holy Ghost. Ask for the Holy Ghost. Lord bless you this morning. God fill us all with His Spirit every day. Every day.
Amen.
In Acts 2 it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Couple of chapters over, I see them praying again after they have been under great persecution, and the church comes together, and the place where they were was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. You say, wouldn't they feel back over here? Yeah. Amen. But they needed refreshing. They needed that filling again, that continuance. That's the way we need it, brethren. That's why the Lord's designed. That's why He set up in His gospel church. Amen. For us to come together on the first day of the week. Amen. To be renewed and be refreshed and to be reminded in the Holy Scriptures. Amen. That will make thee wise unto salvation.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just going to quit. God bless you is my prayer. Let's get a song. We'll stand together.